All right, so I'm going to offer to the brethren. I made an audio of this before, but I thought it'd be a good time. We're getting ready to go through the book of Revelation. I wanted to go through and just read the promises of the book of Revelation. A lot of people make Revelation all about Mark of the Beast, 666, the Antichrist, Satan, and all that. And that is in there. But most of the book of Revelation is really the revelation of Jesus Christ and about the promises to his people. So I don't want us to lose sight of that. So we're going to go through and we're going to read the promises of the book of Revelation to edify and encourage. We're going to start at Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to the eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I like that. It promises a reward for those who overcome. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the ecclesia, the churches. To him that overcome, there's that word again, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knowing, saving he that receive it. There's kind of why we all have taken new names. God promises us new names. We decided to get rid of our earthly names ahead of time. So that's pretty awesome. Revelation 2, 24 through 27. But I say unto you, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But to they which have already, hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh, there's that word again, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with an iron rod, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So what a glorious promise from our Savior. Going to chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, there's that word again, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Raiment, that's not shorts and a t-shirt. That's a robe, tunic, garment. I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. So what a glorious promise. We get our names confessed. Confess them. Chapter 3, let's see, same chapter, verses 10 through 12. And because thou hast kept the word of thy patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them, or all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, there's that word again, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I love that verse right there. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of the God, of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So there's that promise of that revelation, that new, in Revelation, of the New Jerusalem coming down. Let's see, we're still in chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, there's that word again, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So, wow, we just have all these promises from the book of Revelation. Skipping forward to chapter 7. Chapter 7, 14 through 17. And it says, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he say unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he sitteth on the throne, shall dwell among them. 16. And they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And verse 17, one of my favorites. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Wow, what a glorious promise from the book of Revelation. Again, let's skip forward to chapter 12. And this isn't exhaustive, but these are just the ones that I'm sharing with you. Not completely exhaustive. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's one of our favorite scripture verses in our body. And again, we're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. That's definitely a promise from the Father to give us to overcome. Skip ahead to chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plague. So there you go. There's a promise to not get the judgment of God. We always talk about this. The saints of God are going to have to endure the wrath of Satan, but we're not going to have to endure the wrath of our Heavenly Father. Skip to chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So there's a promise of that marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's see. Skip ahead to chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we have a great promise, if we don't yield to the Antichrist, that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Let's see, verse 6 from chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Well, there's a great promise right there. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the second death will have no effect on God's people. Skip over to chapter 21. Verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelleth with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's a promise. We can struggle through this life and know that all of these things are going to pass away one day. That's a glorious promise. Same chapter, 21, verses 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, there's that word, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I like that. It not even says by people. It says he shall be my son. That word overcometh comes up so many times. I don't know how people can say that we don't have to endure or overcome unto eternal life in these promises. Let's see. I just did 6 and 7. Verse 21. Chapter 21, verses 25 through 27. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There you go. We have the promise of the Lamb's Book of Life. And last chapter, chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And then verse 22, chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So we're blessed if we're keeping the book of Revelation and its sayings. And then two more sections. Verses 12 through 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of the life, a tree of life, and may enter in through the gates unto the city. Of course, that's talking about the New Jerusalem. And then finally, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So that was my last verse. When I think about that last one, whosoever, it reminds me of John 3, when Jesus talks about God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, and then he talks about whosoever. So it's a promise to anyone that will come. And those are my promises, or God's promises from the book of Revelation that I wanted to read, and I'm thinking that'll be a good precursor when we go through and start studying it verse by verse. The promises that we get to look forward to. And we do have to overcome. We saw that for sure.
Amen.
Any thoughts on that, brothers? Hopefully that encouraged you.
Very encouraging.
Yeah, it is. There's one thought, like there's promises that my brain can't even fathom in there.
Yeah.
I'll be content to sit in the back really quietly and just not say a word. I can't picture some of them, but
yeah. Like being a pillar. Being a pillar in the temple of God. Just think about that. It's like, that's just incredible.
Yeah. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This just jumped out at me. Maybe it's a entirely different topic. When God calls us blessed, what does it mean? Oh. When we're blessed, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, and how significant is it when God says, if we do this, we're blessed? Just an open-ended question that just jumped out at me.
Yeah, let's go right there. Which verse are you talking about? Well, Revelation 22:14, right? Is that what you're talking about?
7.
Okay, 7 and 14 says blessed too. Let's look up the word.
Yeah.
The first thing that came off to my mind was be favored. And I think it is. It means supremely blessed, well off, blessed, happy. That's what that one was. Well, verse 7 you said you were talking about? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he. Yeah, same word. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like favor, supremely blessed. I think it means favor. You're by extension, fortunate and well off. It's like you have plenty, right? It's overflowing.
Yeah, but it's just, when we look at blessed, it's actually interesting to do a word search on it.
Blessed, and happy, like, happier.
I mean, you just read a bunch of promises. So to be blessed from God means to have favor with God. Would that be right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
So let me read a bunch of scriptures to just add to your topic on, you want to have favor with God and get these promises, this is what you must do to be blessed. And I'm just going to read it, like there's 40, it comes up 43 times in the New Testament. So it starts in Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes.
Sermon, yeah.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Yeah.
Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord when he cometh shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Like, I can keep going here. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then it's all the promises in Revelation about being blessed if we keep his commandments. It's just interesting. If you want God's favor, like I think it ties into the grace,
yeah,
not being unmerited. You want God's blessings, you got to do all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's faith and works, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just... And it's very encouraging, this study.
And then you see that word overcome all over the place. Oh, we don't have to do nothing. Yeah, right. Overcome, and then to be blessed, to be favored, to be overflowing, to have plenty. Yeah, it's pretty awesome when you look at it. And it kind of does, you know, talking about trying to help a young brother see through all this, it kind of does simplify the faith, too. You want to do what you're supposed to do, you want to live out this Christian faith, do what you're supposed to do. Do the things that say you're supposed to do to be blessed, and just do them. If you would just seek after that and say, I'm just going to do all that stuff, that blessed stuff, and those promises, and you would just seek after those, all of your problems and your flesh and all of the stuff in life would just flail away. You'd be so busy seeking after the righteousness of God and looking after the blessing, seeking the blessings and drawing near to God and do all that, you'd have no time to go, oh, my wicked man. Right? Am I right or am I wrong?
No, when you get so busy working for the Lord, you almost don't have time for the stuff you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, what
you're like, you're so busy working, it's like there's too much work to do. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, what I was telling Brother Purgos today, we were talking about how to help people that are struggling in their flesh, and I said, you know, when you sit in your flesh and you just sit there and you're like, oh, woe is me, I don't like my life, oh, look at my past, look at my job, I'm just so lowly, people make fun of me with my tunic or my head covering or whatever, and you sit there, your fleshly man sits on your lap and goes, yeah, I like it right here, keep saying that, you're right, this is good, right? Keep looking at all this, you have a terrible life, don't you? But if you get up and you start going to serve the Lord in the Spirit, the fleshly man is like, oh, hold on, don't leave me behind, I'm right here. And he's like coming up behind you. You're going forth to serve the Lord, and you're working and you're busy and you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, and your fleshly man, he really can't keep up. He can't keep up. He's like, why don't you just sit down and think about the past some more? No, I'm too busy working for the Lord. Oh, I had that guy. And you're going forth. So sitting still, we always talk about it, sitting still in the midst of this war we're in is just suicide. We got to get going, keep going, and then our fleshly man, he can't even keep up.
Yeah.
We drowned him out.
Yeah, it's good. It's like, well, yeah, you can only do so and so much. And if you completely let your life be consumed as a living sacrifice, you're completely consumed with Christ and serving him. It's like you won't have time for all the stuff you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
God has given us enough work, and there's so few laborers that there's like, you don't have time to sit around.
Amen.
Yeah. And on the subject of walking, it's again, this has just hit me the last few days. Like, I know it, but it's one of those obvious statements that sometimes just sinks in deeper. If you're not walking on the narrow road to eternal life, you are not walking the narrow road to eternal life.
Right. And you're not following Christ.
I mean, if you're not walking it, then you're not walking it. Yeah. It's kind of obvious, but really deep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, it's like my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. It's simple, but it's really deep, because in order to know his voice, you have to know who he is, know his word, know his spirit, and then you hear his voice, and then you actually follow it. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, what a glorious thing. We get to be blessed as we overcome, and all of these awesome promises. So yeah, we have a glorious thing to look forward to.
Amen.
Anything from you, Brother Purgos? Any thoughts?
Oh, I was just thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and about how Paul was talking about him laboring and Apollos watering, and basically if anyone's work abides, he will get a reward. So,
amen.
And also how Christ, they allude to him in the book of Hebrews, saying that for the joy set before him.
Yeah.
So you should be working for your reward and looking forward to it, because you'll be worthy of it.
Yeah.
You'll deserve it. So therefore, just keep laboring for it, and the rest of the stuff will just melt away.
Amen. Amen. Good word, brother. Another thing that keeps popping up in my mind is that, I don't know, I might have to do a teaching on it. God loves a joyful giver. And I know everybody always thinks of that in like, here's $20. Thankfully, I want to give it to you. But I'm thinking of giving of your life, giving of your time, giving of yourself to others, giving of yourself to God. The Lord doesn't want us to go, fine, I'll do this. The Lord says, wait, ponder your heart. What have I done for you? What did Christ do for us? And then we got to do it in a joyful spirit. So I'm thinking about doing a teaching on that, because it's really important that we get to where we do this joyfully. I get it. Sometimes you have to just obey even when maybe you don't understand and maybe it's hard. I'm not saying it's always really fun to obey, but we got to get to the place where we're obeying and serving Christ in joy. And I think that's part of our completeness, our maturity, our sanctification.
Amen. I have a scripture that came to mind talking about all the promises. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Yeah. Amen.
But then it also says this. This is interesting. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So it's like, you know how it talks about, in I think it's Hebrews, partaking of the heavenly gifts?
Right.
It's kind of the peace and the joy and the trust and the assurance of God. It's almost like a foreshadowing that the Spirit kind of reveals to us about the overwhelming peace and freedom and joy that's going to be there. It's like,
As much as we can't
really understand it.
Yeah, you're talking about like in the end when we're there in the New Jerusalem and all that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an archetype, right? Yeah, you think about that, Brother Purgos, the peace and joy that we have today, it, just like Brother said, it's an archetype of what we're going to have when we're there.
Definitely thought about that also. Being at rest eternally in our Sabbath of the Lord.
Yeah.
And one other thing about not knowing. Also, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I'm just imagining what Apostle Paul actually saw, and
yeah,
cross-referencing that with Revelation, and just just beyond what my mind can comprehend.
Yeah, your head will explode trying to figure all that out, but what a glorious thing to look forward to. Yeah, I can't wait to get into it verse by verse and cover all the deeper promises and other cross-references and all that. It's going to be kind of exciting. Yeah, awesome stuff. Anything else? Anything else, brothers, on this?
Maybe just the thought that maybe sometime we should go. Maybe I'd put it on my list of studies. All the promises in the entire New Testament, not just the Book of Revelation. I mean, I think that would be really encouraging.
It would be encouraging. Yeah, it would be awesome. We look forward to it. When will you have that ready?
Don't press me.
Tomorrow at 6?
We'll see. I'll put it on the list.
All right, brothers. All right, good job. This will be up on the Ecclesia Forum.